When Joseph meeting his brothers in Egypt, he recognizes them, and they do not recognize him. As far as they're concerned, they came to the chairman of Federal Reserve of Egypt, just by us. Here, Federal Reserve keeps money. Over there, Federal Reserve kept grain, food. So, and they are thinking that they're talking to Egyptian, and they are really talking to Joseph, to their brother. And he recognizes them. And he wants to keep the youngest of them, Binyamin, who was the only brother of Joseph from both his father and his mother, so he felt the closest. He wants to keep him with him in Egypt. So the rest of the brothers are free to go home, but he is trying to figure out a way how he can keep Binyamin in Egypt, and he figures out a plan. He frames him, as we had recently discovery of dirty cops planting evidence in people's cars. So he is thinking of playing exactly this trick. He plants a goblet in Binyamin's bag, and then after all of the brothers leave, he's sending police escort to catch them, and he says, I'm missing a goblet, and here's a search warrant. We need to search your bags. We are suspecting that you have it. So Yehuda right away tells to this policeman, I'm sure that none of us have stolen it, and if one of us did, then he will be guilty, and we will be guilty as well. We all are going to be at fault. Later on, you obviously know the story that they do find this goblet in Binyamin's bag. All the brothers, not only Binyamin, but all of them, return to the palace. And at this point, Yehuda is trying to stick up for his brother and make sure that he will not be arrested. And at that moment, Joseph is revealing himself. He is telling his brothers who he is. And this is when there is a very emotional scene of reunification of the 12 brothers. But this whole story has one question that begs to, why is it that Yehuda is saying that if this goblet is going to be found back in a bag of one of us, we all are going to be guilty? If someone is a criminal, let him bear the punishment. We don't believe in collective responsibility. We don't believe in collective punishment. So if one of the brothers is a criminal, he has to go to jail. Why should all of them be punished? We know that, first of all of the 12 brothers were very special people, and they didn't say things in vain. The Torah does not have one extra word, one extra letter. So if the Torah is telling us that this is what Yehuda said, obviously there has to be a reason. It has to be a meaning behind these words. Why is it that the Torah is saying that if one of us is a thief, then all of us are going to be guilty? It says that there are two types of things that we are refraining from doing. Number one, the things that we are aware of, the things that we know that other people do that, we know that it can be done, but we know it is a bad thing. So I know that a person should not be doing it, and I do know that some people do it, but I choose not to. This is one category. But then there is another category. I'm not doing them because I cannot imagine. And if you'll ask me to bring an example, I won't be able to, because if I can bring an example, I can imagine. But I'm hoping you're getting the point that there are things that just you can't even fathom. And that's why you're not doing it. So what I am doing and what I'm not doing out of the things that I can imagine is up to me. It's my choice. I live among people who are crooks, and I choose not to be a crook and a thief. It's my choice. Sometimes it is harder for me to refrain from certain things. Sometimes it's easier for me to refrain, whichever way it is. But it is my choice what I do out of the things that I know can be done. But things that I cannot imagine, it's not up to me. It's up to society. Why? Because if I live in a place where everybody does something, I will be able to imagine it. If my neighbor does something, even if it's really bad and I know it should not be done, but I see my neighbor doing it every day, then it is already a part of my worldview. I can still refrain from doing it, and I'm fully responsible for my action. The fact that everybody around is doing it is not an excuse for me to do it, but it is at least a part of my understanding of the world, I know that it's possible to. So that's why the things that I cannot imagine that they can be done because of society. So when Yehuda is saying that one of us stole this goblet and all of us are guilty, this is because he's saying that theft is something which is not a part of our understanding of possibility. In our society, in our family, theft is something which is, we cannot even imagine. This is why he's saying that, listen, if we can imagine theft, then we are all guilty, because that means that it is present in our family, in our society. In the Western world, people believe knowledge is power. The more you know, the better. It is true that knowledge can have a very positive effect on us. But if I know something, I cannot force myself to forget it. So if I see something that has a negative impact on me, it's gonna affect me. I might still choose not to do it, and I definitely should not do it. Me knowing of something bad does not excuse me doing it. But now it's gonna be harder for me. This is why we are very careful about what we see and what we read. People ask me, why don't I have TV in my house? Well, first of all, it's for the kids, but we believe that every person can be affected at any time during his life. In the Western world, most of the time, people look at kids as growing and developing people who need to be protected. But adults, they kind of already have established themselves. They have reached this plateau, and that's why there's nothing wrong with adults seeing, hearing, or learning something. Very often when people are talking about something inappropriate, they say, well, we are all adults here, we can talk about it. So the answer is that everything can have an effect on anyone. Things can have an effect on anyone, a child or an adult. Obviously, things have stronger impact on children, that's granted. But adults are also susceptible to this influence all the time. Why? Because even though I can choose what I do and what I don't do, if I keep myself from seeing certain things, if I keep myself from learning certain things, it's not going to be even a part of my worldview. It's not going to be part of my view of the world. And it's going to be easier for me not to do it. This is why in Jewish tradition, very careful what we read, what we watch. If we watch movies where there's violence, then this violence is becoming a part of our psyche. Same thing with an appropriate thing. So this is what we learn from this story of Yehuda.